On Midwest Week, a lot of questions about Moline and its work with private developers. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Sarah Hayden, reporter for the Dispatch Argus and Quad City Times. So recently, Sarah, you and Barb Ikus wrote a story entitled Fingers Pointed. It's a Moline development deals, and what prompted you guys to do that?
Well, we were contacted by Third Ward Alderman Mike Wendt, who was letting us know that a comprehensive TIF review was done by their current city attorney, Dirk Price. And in this comprehensive review of the TIF districts, they were trying to find revenue that they had projected to have in the city but didn't appear to be actual revenue. So after this comprehensive TIF review was done, Alderman Wendt contacted both of us and was hoping to get this out in the public domain.
Okay. So at first, it sort of seemed, at least to some of us reporters anyway, that some department heads and elected officials were not getting along. What was that all about, and how did it lead to this stuff about the TIF districts?
Well, as we all know, there's been quite a bit of turnover from the city of Moline in the last 2 years. They've lost City Administrator Doug Maxiner, City Administrator Lisa Cotter, their Planning and Development Director Ray Forsyth also left. Their Finance Director Kathy Carr resigned 4 years before her planned retirement. The City Attorneys Maureen Riggs and Amy Keys both resigned, Engineer Scott Hinton, and then Health Inspector Andy Swartz. So turnover has been pretty swift from the City of Moline in the last 2 years, and those are just the senior staff members. There's also been a number of lower senior level employees who've left as well. Now, many of them in my conversations with them have alleged micromanagement by some city council members. But when talking to some of the city council members, namely Mike Wendt, Mayor Stephanie Acree, and the attorney Dirk Price, they're alleging that the turnover is more attributable to questions that those staff preferred not to answer. So they are alleging that they left the city to avoid difficult discussions or having to answer for perhaps alleged bad development deals or projected revenue that never came to fruition.
Okay. The main projects that you talked about in the article, there was, let me see, River Station, Overlook Village, and the motel out at the airport. Are they considered successful projects? I mean, are people staying at the motel despite the pandemic and their tenants at River Station and all that sort of thing?
Well, now, regarding the airport deal, that is actually, that was involving the Metropolitan Airport Authority by the developer Todd Raifweisen. He's actually serving time in federal prison. I'm not sure if he's been released at this point, but he pleaded guilty to money laundering and wire fraud several years ago in a case unrelated to Moline.
Mm-hmm.
So he already doesn't have the best reputation. Now, the city's own TIF consultants, along with the attorney from the airport, actually warned against paying Todd Raifweisen for the airport deal. So I'm not sure where that entirely stands, but I do know that the city did end up paying him regardless. And so the city paid $250,000 to the developer's creditors in bankruptcy court, according to Moline attorney Dirk Price. And so, you know, the city is saying they don't know what they got for their money. And then another, an additional $100,000 was paid to a local architect, and the city isn't sure why that payment was made as well. So there's a lot of unanswered questions regarding that development deal.
Mm-hmm. What about River Station? That's kind of visible. I remember the chop house was there, and the Convention Visitors Bureau has an office there. Is that a going project these days?
So the River Station property, that's another development deal that has ended up in court. It's currently being referred to mediation. The city sued the River Station development crew for $1.5 million in back rent, interest, and penalties that the city is owed on that property that it owns at 1601 River Drive. And that's where the Bass Street Chop House restaurant is, and I believe that that's recently reopened. So that is owned by Kaizen Company, and they owe the city the rent and the fees on the property. And what happened is that Kaizen wanted to actually purchase the property that the restaurant sits on. So they developed a potential deal with the city that would result in them having the city forgive the back rent and the penalties in exchange for Kaizen having to pay for parking for a number of years. And the way the formula worked out was that Kaizen would still have to pay $100,000 to the city, and in addition to the parking spaces. And then another formula was negotiated where all of that would be forgiven. Kaizen would only pay $10 in exchange for the parking fees for a number of years. Apparently, it was a very complicated formula. At any rate, the city still sued, and it's currently in mediation, like I said. And so that is yet to be determined.
Now, the third project that you all looked at in the article was Overlook Village, and the problem there apparently was having to do with revenue projections?
Correct. So that was a two-part project. So the first part was the construction of Overlook Village, which is the retirement facility. And then the second part would be an un-yet-developed, unplanned construction of a project called Overlook Place. And now, the city had projected revenue for that, and again, emphasis on the word projected, but apparently when Planning and Development Director Ray Forsythe left the city, the projected revenue was still being factored in as real revenue for some reason. Now, maybe this is a misunderstanding, but it was referred to as phantom revenue by Alderman Wendt. And so his perception on that is that the only upside to that development deal, it included the upside to the development deal, but that the cost to the city had not been factored in. And so what resulted was a phantom $4 million surplus. And because the city believed that they had this additional $4 million, they went ahead and they planned for upgrades to Stevens Park and, you know, other plans for that money. Well, it turns out that the city didn't have that money as well. Now, when I reached out to Ray Forsythe to comment for the story, Ray told me that if they had hired a development director after he left, that this all could have been avoided, and that he doesn't understand why the city is planning projects on revenue that is just forecast and projected and not actual revenue. So it turns out to be kind of a he said situation, and, you know, hence the headline for the story, fingers being pointed in Moline development deals. Clearly a lot of miscommunication, misunderstandings, and pointing of fingers.
Okay, so for those of us on the outside, there's no real way to figure out what's going on, because like you said, it's he said, and how do we decide?
Right. Ray Forsythe, you know, he's very adamant that he doesn't understand why council members were relying on a document that was never considered to be a future spending guide. He said it makes no sense to him why the city would depend on revenue that wasn't actually there. Again, that's coming from Ray Forsythe.